As I was doing some preparing for this evening, I ran across a tradition that I had never heard of before. And it is that in some places, I don't know where, on the feast of the birth of John the Baptist, people light a bonfire. And if they can't do that, then they will either light a lamp or a candle. And the reason for it is, comes out of the Gospel of St. John. Jesus was referring to John the Baptist, and he says, John was a burning and shining lamp. Burning and shining lamp. Now if you go, well, before I say that, it's important to realize that I'm talking about John the Baptist, but I'm quoting the Gospel of John the Apostle. So we could get John's mixed up here. So I'll try to keep that as clear as I can. If you go to the beginning, the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, John the Apostle, it states, speaking of John the Baptist, he came to testify to the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And so, in a sense, Jesus is saying that John was a lamp, but a lamp that pointed to the true light. The light that could bring light to every person. I'm going to come back to that theme of light later. But I want to just talk a little bit more about John the Baptist. As we heard in the gospel reading, he was the son of an elderly couple, of a mother who had been thought to be sterile. And then, in her old age, at the promise of an angel, she conceives. This promise came to Zechariah as he was doing his priestly duties in the temple. Now, Elizabeth, the mother of John, was a relative of the Virgin Mary. And so, in Luke's gospel, when the angel appears to Mary and tells her that she is going to conceive, she also tells her that Elizabeth has conceived and is in her sixth month. And then Mary, it says, hastens to go visit Elizabeth. Now, from what we know, that would have been quite a journey. It would have been a several days journey. But she stays with Elizabeth, it says, 3 months. In other words, until the birth of the child, or shortly before the birth. In Luke's gospel also, it tells us that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, it says, the child within her womb leaped for joy. And then Elizabeth says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, in the gospel reading that we're going to have tomorrow, it tells us that John was in the desert. We don't know when he went to the desert, but apparently, as he entered adulthood, he went into the desert. And that's where he remained until he began his preaching ministry. Now, there's a lot of speculation exactly what he did in the desert, but there was a group of very Orthodox, very traditional Jews that had separated themselves apart and formed a religious community in the desert. And many people think that that's where John went, that he went to that group of people and he stayed with them until he began his preaching ministry. But it's interesting that he goes into the desert, because you would expect that a prophet is going to go to the temple. And yet, John does not do that. He stays in the desert, and people begin to come to him out into the desert. which is saying something important, that the temple and its importance was going away. John was bringing something new. And so the temple was to no longer be the place where people were to encounter God. And that newness comes with Jesus Christ. But already it's foreshadowed in the preaching and the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, as we probably most of you are aware, John was beheaded by King Herod. And what had happened is that John had criticized or made a comment that it was not right for Herod to marry the wife of his brother Philip. Her name was Herodias. And Herodias resented that statement by John, and she wanted to get revenge for what he had said. And so she had the opportunity, and she found a way to persuade her husband that he should behead John the Baptist. And that is what happened to John. Jesus spoke of John as, and it's a strange way that he said it, as the greatest man born of woman. And since all men are born of woman, he is the greatest man ever to be born. And his mission was to prepare the way for the Lord. He was to prepare people to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might raise that question of, well, was he very successful? Because you don't see a lot of people, initially, yes, they accept Jesus, but by the end, you don't see a lot of people really following Jesus. But if you think about it again, his success was not in numbers. His success was in that his disciples, especially Andrew and Peter, become the disciples of Jesus. And so he had prepared a way for the Lord in that sense. He had prepared men who were willing to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and who became later his apostles. What I'd like to focus on about John the Baptist, though, is his humility. That's probably his most outstanding feature. There's one place where John says, referring to Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. Another place he says that he was not worthy to loosen the sandal straps of Jesus. Even though John was the greatest of anyone born of woman, he knew that he was really nothing in comparison to the Lord. He had that deep sense of humility, that everything he was, everything he had, everything he could do was a gift to him from the Lord. And he owed everything to the Lord. He knew his lowliness. He knew his unworthiness. If you think about it, though, we see something similar in the Virgin Mary. You know, in her great canticle, what we call the Magnificat in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, she speaks about her lowliness. Mary, too, knew that everything she was, everything she did, everything she could do was a gift to her from the Lord, and that she had no reason to boast of her greatness because she had received everything from the hands of the Lord. And I want to focus on that because humility is really the key to holiness. Each of us is called to be holy. That's the very calling we receive when we are baptized, to a life of holiness. And in order for us to do that, we have to come to that realization that everything we are everything we have, everything we can do is gift to us from the Lord. That God is the source of all we are, all we have, all we can ever be. Now that's easy to say, but it's difficult to really do. You know, we are so tempted to pride, so tempted to want to somehow manifest our greatness. And yet, holiness involves the opposite. It involves coming to know our need for God, our dependence upon God, the fact that we are totally gifted in everything we are, everything we have. I would like to suggest that we pray for that gift. That we pray for the gift of humility, because that is key to our growth in holiness. That we become humble. We don't achieve that overnight. It's a lifetime journey. But it's something we must work on. Becoming humble, asking God for the grace of humility. Now to go back to the theme of light. John was a light or a lamp that pointed to the true light, to Jesus our Savior. In that sense, you and I are also called to be lamps. Lamps that point to Christ Jesus. We don't do this by ourselves. Not by self-importance, by self-aggrandizement. We do it by knowing how needy we are, how lowly we are. But we also do it in another way. By coming to realize that every person is a child of God. Every person, whether we like them or don't like them, whether they live good lives or they're people who are filled with evil, every person is a child of God. And that too is part of our growth in holiness. That we know ourselves as having received everything from God. That we know the people around us are children of God, created in the image of God, and are deeply loved. We are loved, and so is everyone around us, loved by God.